Hakuna Matata. It means no worries.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free.
Hakuna Matata. Anyone who was alive in 1994 when The Lion King was first released became a huge hit. It's a familiar phrase. No worries, it means, but perhaps so far fans of this year's reboot aren't so relaxed. Jason DeRosso, star of The Screen Show here on RN, joins us now. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hakuna Matata to you.
Hakuna Matata. Yeah. The remake of The Lion King, it's going to look a little unfamiliar, I think.
It is because it's not, I mean, the first film was this line drawing animation from Disney. This is
beautiful.
Now... this is now, I think, an equally beautiful photorealistic animation. So this almost looks like a David Attenborough wildlife documentary that's been brought to life with some degree of nuance and a capacity for emotional inflection, I must say. I really liked this remake of that, by now, classic story of a young lion cub, a prince, who is banished from his kingdom. The throne that is rightfully his has been usurped. It's been stolen by his evil uncle, and he must grow up and find a way to face his fears and regain the throne. And look, I think Jon Favreau, who's the director here, has done wonderfully well, despite a lot of my fellow critics seeming to not really be that enthused by this remake. I actually think it does a wonderful job. It's a different film. It's slightly, in some ways, initially perhaps flatter visually because it is more photorealistic. We don't have that sort of effervescence and that effusiveness of the line drawings of,
the Disney team.
Absolutely.
In a sense.
But there's a lot of nuance. And I think that there are some moments which are wonderfully dark and very Shakespearean. I mean, you've got a great cast as well. Donald Glover playing Simba as the grown-up sort of prince. Beyonce's in there as Princess Nala. And Chiwetel Ejiofor is wonderful as Uncle Scar, who is this, you know, menacing figure and a very evil figure who comes with a horde of jackals to take over the kingdom. So, look, I think it's good. Let me play you a little bit now from the film that has Chiwetel Ejiofor in it doing his sort of menacing Shakespearean bit.
This gorge is where all lions come to find their roar.
All lions? Even my dad?
Even Mufasa came here when he was your age. Refused to leave until his roar could be heard above the rim.
All the way up there?
That's when you know you found it. With a little practice, you'll never be called a cub again.
Watch this.
You'll get it, Simba. Just takes time.
That's pretty cute. It's all computer generated.
Yeah, it is.
It's the story of a prince, a privileged kid. Is the world fallen out of the storyline?
I think that has a little bit. I mean, I even saw someone describe it as fascist online.
Oh, God.
And I thought that was a bit of an overstatement, to put it mildly. Look, the thing about kids' stories is that they're allegories, right? They're fables. And I think most kids feel that they're the center of their own world and that they're, you know, their own princes and princesses in their home. So, look, mainly I don't think that privilege kind of criticism holds much water for this kind of genre. And I also think that it's a wonderful depiction of finding the courage to face what seems like an insurmountable challenge. So look, I don't mind this remake at all. I think both films are good.
I can't wait to see it myself. This week, of course, Jason, the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, there's a lot of documentaries around, there's a lot of movies around all grouped together under sort of, you know, Lost in Space.
Yeah.
And there's a new doco, Apollo 11.
This is wonderful. This is my pick of the bunch. I mean, it is a documentary made solely from archival material of the launch and the mission to just get to, you know, the moon. I mean, there have been other documentaries made. For All Mankind, for example, was made in the late 80s, which talked about the Apollo mission more generally and kind of had a similar approach using archival material. As I say, when I say only archival material, there are no interviews done in the present day. It's all sort of footage that a lot of which has never been shown before because Stephen Slater, who's my guest on the show, coming up at 10 a.m. this morning, was the archival producer on this, and he actually got to scour the NASA archives. and found a lot of unseen footage, including 70mm footage, so it's pristine. And there are just things that when you see them anew, I mean, the first time that you see Neil Armstrong on screen in this, and this is stuff we've seen before on other newsreel footage of him suiting up inside the big white room with the white suit. For a moment, I didn't recognize him, and it was a split second. And the reason I didn't recognize him was because he had this look of what I assumed was fear on his face. It was quite interesting, this trepidatious sort of look. So a lot of these, some of the familiar images actually seem to be kind of born again, really, in this pristine documentary. Look, it's a wonderful thing.
Is it called a cinema release?
Apollo 11, and it pays to see it in the cinema. I mean, some of these images are absolutely spectacular, as you could imagine, you know, and a lot of the stuff that went on in ground control as well. I mean, he scoured through, you know, thousands and thousands of hours. There were 30 people at any one stage in ground control. All of them had their conversations recorded. So he trawled through all of that and sunk it up with the footage of them. So it's quite an extraordinary sort of, it's quite an extraordinary film. Technically, and he talks about it on the show at 10.
This weekend's the weekend to see it, isn't it? Jason, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Jason DeRosso, our resident film critic here at RN, host of The Screen Show this morning at 10, as he mentioned, or any time, of course, on the ABC Listen app.